Online Podcast 125. Hello, welcome to Online Podcast. This is John Ong. Welcome back. This is the third week we have the Mischievous Boys with us, so very lucky, and I welcome back to all the Mischievous Boys fans as well, and I'm sure three of you were very happy listening to them mentioning your names on the show. Anyway, without taking too much time, I'm going to go straight to the questions. Hello, boys.
Hello!
Hi, John.
Hi, hey. From California.
Hi from California. Hi from Kansas City.
Hi from Sacramento.
Hi from Joseph's bedroom.
We have Tommy, we have David, and we have Joseph, and we have Edward with us as well. It is so lucky to have all four of you. I know, I kept thinking, if I'm interviewing you guys, the four of you, I'm sure I'm just going to get like two or three, but I managed to get all four of you for the whole interview since the first time.
I know.
It's just for you, John. We'll do this for you.
For you, John.
Yes.
Because you're special.
That is so sweet.
Because you're an Asian brother.
Oh, yes, yes.
Sister. She's our gay Asian sister.
Asian sisters.
She's a Gaysian sister.
A Gaysian sister.
We all stand up for each other.
Without further ado,
go ahead.
Let's jump into the questions. How is it like being Asian in California?
We each have our own personal experiences, so I guess I'll start. Being gay and Asian. This is David, the teacher. Being gay and living in Sacramento and being Asian, I've always felt that I have the support. I have other gay Asian friends out there, and there's always San Francisco that's not too far. So I guess I was able to come out when I was in college, in the middle of my college years, where I was able to explore and identify myself as a gay Asian male. So it wasn't too difficult. After that, after I found my support network and my mischievous brothers, and sisters, and it's become really, really wonderful now that this has come about.
Sure. And what about gayness aside? What about just being Asian? Do you think it's easy being Asian in California, let's say, compared to in Colorado or somewhere different?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Without actually having been to Colorado, I think it's pretty safe to say that I have an easier time just being Asian in California. Well, because I'm from San Jose, and so there's a large population of Vietnamese people there. And so, I just growing up, I was exposed to the culture more so than I think that I would have been if I were living in Colorado.
That's true.
Yeah, I just randomly pick a state. Sorry, Colorado. I don't think I have any listener from Colorado. So if there's any listener out there listening from Colorado, please write me.
Aspen, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado.
There are Chinese people everywhere.
Okay, well, Asian people everywhere.
Move on to the next person.
Moving on.
What's the question?
How is it like being Asian? How is it like being Asian in California?
Well, I would say it's better than in other places, but we have to remember that California is not the same all throughout the state. There are some portions in California that is still pretty not open to diversity in general.
That's true, Edward.
Thanks, David. My mischievous
good
brother,
answer.
David.
Good answer. Good answer.
Good answer.
Well, take for example. Take for example when I was a freshman in high school, I first went to this one school which is predominantly white. I was pretty much the only person with dark hair. So my very first week at that school, I felt so alienated, felt so different because I'm the only one with dark hair and dark eyes. So what I did, knowing me, I went to another school. I told my mom, I'm not going to go to
that
school.
That problem.
I went literally to the other side of town. And I got exposed to diversity. This school has a lot of Asians, a lot of Hispanics, a lot of African Americans, and it's pretty much equal across the board. So I think that is one of the best decisions I've ever made as a 13-year-old freshman in high school.
They're great. Crying, I think John. I think that's really crucial. I think that's really important for listeners out there to know that when you are a minority, when you are a majority, you don't think about how a minority would feel in a room full of different people. And no matter how welcoming they are, when you look into the mirror, you are different. So especially for a child, that can be very difficult.
That's true.
Yeah. But at least most of you, have you guys had any, I think probably, and I'm going to come back to this question, but most of you probably come over here as fairly young, especially, David was actually, came over here at the age of 2, Tommy was actually born here, but Joseph and Edward came here as a young child. I guess Joseph was 14. And so was there any problem adjusting to, let's say, language and culture when you first came here? How about Joseph first?
Okay, for me, I did not have any problems adjusting with the language because all Filipinos or most Filipinos already speak English anyway. So I didn't have to learn the language at all. And then as far as the culture, I'm really... I'm very, like, I can easily adapt to, like, new environments, so it was no problem with me, living in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. So
that's good. What about Edward?
Yeah, I would have to agree with Joseph. When I was in the Philippines, I went to an all-boys Catholic school, and the primary language of instruction was
Hail Mary, full
English.
Of grace.
The Lord is with you.
I'm sorry, what?
Blessed that you
are
among women, blessed is the womb of your fruit, Jesus.
Okay, I'm get it now. As I was saying, in the Philippines, we speak English.
My God.
That's the primary language of instruction, and there's only two classes, as I recall, in which we're allowed to speak our native language, and that is history and Tagalog. So growing up, when I moved to the U.S., I felt... didn't really have a lot of adjustment because we already speak English in the Philippines.
Cool. So it's a little bit easier, probably, let's say, compared to somebody from Japan, I think, or even Malaysia, actually. It was quite a struggle. I mean, I do speak English, but it's different. You know, the English that we spoke back there and here is entirely different. I mean, it's still English, right. But the way you express yourself is just different.
Right.
So it was more of a struggle for me, I think, depending on where you come from.
Right.
So let's go back to who hasn't answered the question of how's it like being Asian in California?
Joseph. Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel that it's pretty cool, pretty easy? And
well, at work... You know, most of the people I work with are white, and there's not that many minorities. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I work with them, I don't even think that I'm Filipino. Like, I think I'm just, you know, one of them. One of them. So there's no problem with me. So there's no problem with me there. Uh-huh. But as far as the gay community... Mm-hmm. I still think that gay Asians have a hard time because we are a double minority. First, we are gay. That's a minority. And then we're mm-hmm. Asians, and that's also mm-hmm. a minority ethnically.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I know in San Francisco there's a lot of Asian people, but I know that there's also a lot of people who hate Asians or they don't like to date Asians just because there's so many of them. And, you know, they like to just, like the white guys, they just like to hang out with their own color.
Sure.
So,
and I'm going to come back with that. I'm going to let the last person answer that. Who hasn't answered that question yet?
We've all answered.
Oh, okay. So my question is, kind of a follow-up of that is there any, like Asian bonding in where you live? Like, how do, is there, like, a pretty... tight-knit Asian community?
Well, Sacramento, there's really not... I mean, there's a lot of Asians, but there's not that many gay Asians in Sacramento. Not like San Francisco.
Yeah, mm-hmm. San Francisco would have a lot more support and a lot more networks.
Because in San Francisco, they have a club that's, you know, predominantly Asian customers.
Right.
Bars.
Those who love us.
Yes.
Right. And also in San Francisco, there's a lot more social service organizations that cater to the API community, such as the...
And what is API, Edward?
Asian Pacific Islanders... Blah, 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 blah. I'm stuttering. Asian and Pacific Islander Wellness Center. There's also the Filipino Task Force on AIDS. And I'm sure there's... a lot more organizations that cater to the needs of Asian individuals. I was just talking to David about this like a year and a half ago.
We talk
that
a lot. We like
there
to
is really no organizations here in Sacramento that cater to the gay community, gay Asian community, and we even thought about starting one.
It's called the Mischievous Boys.
Yes, that's
we're,
what
we're taking friends, over the world.
Friends of the Mischievous Boys,
right.
The Sacramento chapter.
Yes.
Well, that's one. But also, what I was kind of thinking about is some sort of a support group for gay Asian individuals who are just coming out, who just wanted to have a place where they could talk openly, you know, things like that, like a support system, right?
Tifla, Mischievous Boys,
right?
Parents and friends.
Hey, you know what? I think you guys can just chat and turn on the microphone and actually do your own weekly podcast too. Don't you think?
No, we like yours, John.
No, it's a lot funner this way.
We always love to have more podcasts out there. I think, you know, you can have your own, you know, four more other Asian voices out there. Isn't that great? So let's, while we're on that topic, do all of you listen to podcasts?
No.
Okay, this is Joseph, and yes, I do listen to the podcast ever since I got my iPod Nano. Mm-hmm. And I listen.
Are you the only one, Joseph?
Yes.
Oh my God, what a disgrace!
No, again, they're not very, very technical.
We got it from Joseph. We look up to Joseph for that.
The day people who are not technical start to listen to podcasts, that's a day that podcasting will actually really take off, I think. So
yes.
Go out and spread the words.
Yeah. So I actually listen to the online podcast. And
like
Twit,
since last week.
And Twit, which is the This Week in Tech.
Uh-huh.
And Macworld Podcasts and Inside Mac Radio and Mac TV Videocast. And
I subscribe to that too.
And of course, the Mischievous Boys video podcast.
Oh, so you are more okay. So, do you guys know about the Q Potter?
The what?
Have you heard of Q Potter?
Cute Potter.
QPODDER. QPotter.com or QPotter.org will bring you to the same place. QPotter.org is actually it's like a community within the gay podcast community, the queer casting, we call it.
Oh, and, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you guys should get yourself registered there at qpotter.com. And you will see a lot of, you know, it really is a great community there. Every once in a while, there's bitching. It's, you know.
Like Tommy.
When there are queens that tend to be bitching, you know. But
like sometimes, Tommy.
But most of the time, I would say 99.9% out of the experience that I had there were all wonderful. Everybody was very supportive, and so get yourself exposed in that. Like I posted you guys' this interview last 2 weeks ago on Q Potter, so I'm sure you have some. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So check out
John.
Q Potter.
Brownie sure points for John.
Brownie points for John.
Thanks for the PR.
Just bumped up to number
2
eight.
Points now. 2 points now.
You bumped up to number 10.
So do you listen 10. To any? Do you listen to any gay themed podcasts? Any gay podcasts?
Online podcast.
Oh, besides mine.
Online podcast every
it's
day.
It's our favorite.
Oh, it's only on.
Actually, it is every day.
You probably start listening to my podcast when I contact you about the interview, right?
Yes.
And so you probably aren't. There is another Asian podcast also. Well, there's several, but another one is called CDP. And I don't listen to the show much. I'm gonna have to start listening to it because I think I want him to be on my show. It's called CDP. I think CDP stands for Cock, Dick, and Penis.
Oh, Tommy.
Ooh, you said a P word.
Penis.
So, to go check it out, CDP. And also, there's another podcaster who's also Asian, whom I met, actually, from Boston. Nathan from the UFN show. The UFN show is one of my favorite shows, podcast, so you should check it out as well. The UFN show. And, of course, you know, if you go to QPodder, you can actually check out all the other queer podcasters. So get yourself listed there and get exposed.
We'll do that, John. Thanks for the tips.
So, none of the other guys listen to podcasts, huh?
No, they don't.
We just started. We just started Joseph exposed us to podcasts. So that was what, 2 months, three months ago?
Yeah, they listened to the online interview of Mischievous Boys.
You de-virginized us.
I just broke your virginity, podcasting virginity.
Podvinity.
I just popped your podginity.
You popped our podinity.
Tommy, sir.
Okay, let's see. What is the reaction of your friends and family about mischievousboys.com?
Okay, this is Joseph.
They love it.
Okay, this is Joseph, and my grandmother is very proud of us, especially because she named our group. And
she should be a number one fan.
Yeah, she should.
And also, I just want to say that Joseph's grandma cooks for us every single time we make a video. So if not for her, we wouldn't have our name, but also we wouldn't be full. Yes, every single time that we come visit Joseph's house, we always eat here. We always eat delicious Filipino foods, courtesy of Joseph's grandma.
Okay, so back to my friends and family. This is Joseph. So I show my our videos to my mother, and she thinks that it's too gay. So she doesn't want to show it to our relatives, but I show it to them anyway.
That is so mischievous.
That is so mischievous.
And then my friends at work, I showed it to them, and they actually gave. I brought my iPod video and show it to them at work, and they love it.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Yes. Not only that, but he's burned it onto DVD, and we've shared that with friends and family, and they have all heard about Mischievous Boys. My family has seen it. My friends have seen it. And I think a few of my students have seen it.
Edward?
I showed my the videos to my mom, and it's interesting. Her reaction is something that I didn't expect. She said something like, "Oh, Edward, you're so stiff. You gotta open your mouth wider. You gotta."
That's what my mom said about Edward.
Oh.
My mom thinks that Edward is too straight in our videos.
Oh. We'll work
what
on
does that mean?
But we'll work on that, Edward. We'll make
we'll
you
curl
gay.
It up. He's we're curl it up.
Thanks, David. But going back to me and my mom's reaction, I just didn't expect it because I thought that she's going to say, "Oh, that is so gay." But she actually wants me to perform better, like dance more and not just do hand movements like what I always do. And she said that I always wink at the camera, which is something that she wants me to do more, but the guys don't. So what about Tommy?
My cousins, the part of my family that I'm out to, they love it. Actually, one of my cousins lives in San Francisco. And one of her friends from LA had actually sent her a link. That her friend, and she was like, "Is that your cousin?" They actually like it a lot, and so.
She's wonderful.
She's proud of me.
It sounds like everybody's very supportive of what you're doing.
Yeah, they're very supportive.
Great.
We're all supportive.
Yeah, a lot of times I'm overzealous about it when I tell like when I tell my friends about it. And so sometimes they get sick of it, but I never get sick of it.
I can totally understand that. I always talk to people about podcasting too much. Not about my show, but just about podcasting in general. And people get so tired of me talking about it.
So, Jen, what about you? What does your parents think of your podcast, of your show?
Oh, my parents? Yes. Oh, my friends are very supportive, and most of my friends... It's kind of weird to have your friends listening to you talk about really personal stuff, and sometimes I do talk about quite personal stuff on my show. But, you know, I'm getting used to it now. My parents are very supportive. In fact, they have actually done an... I've done an interview with them.
Well,
I interviewed my parents on their 40th wedding anniversary.
So you should
go back and listen to it. Go back and listen to it on January 1st. January 1st was their wedding anniversary, and I posted it, I think, on January 2nd or January 1st. So January 1st, I think. So go back and listen to it. It's pretty cute. And, of course, you know, we don't usually speak English, so it's like double cuteness there because they don't usually speak English with me.
Brownie points for John.
So that was really nice. And of course I have a second podcast called PenangHokkien.com, and that is have you guys heard of Hokkien? Hokkien is a Chinese dialect and spoken in Penang, Malaysia. Have you heard of Penang?
No, I haven't heard of it. Oh, we haven't heard of it.
Penang is a northern island of Malaysia, and it's in that region we speak the dialect Hokkien. So I actually have a show for several months now, and it's called Penang Hokkien, and the whole entire show was just regular chat. I usually call up somebody and we'll use Hokkien to do the whole conversation. And my mom listens to that religiously, so she's a big supporter, I would say. My mom uses iTunes. She reads newspaper from the web. She's very cool.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
She's very technical.
Yeah, she would Skype me. She's like, oh, are you on Skype? Yeah, she's really cool. How old is she now? She is, she's 66 years old.
Really?
Wow.
Never too late for computers. Every once in a while, if I call her and we say, what are you doing? She said, oh, I'm typing the meeting notes on my computer. She typed Chinese, you know, she typed Chinese text. So it's really, really cute. And let's see, do you think of yourself as a celebrity?
This is Joseph, and yes, I think we are like an amateur celebrity.
Oh my gosh.
Or pseudo celebrity, you know, like those people, Survivor, or
I believe it's
Big Brother.
Micro celebrity.
Micro.
No,
cute.
A celebrity nano. No, we're an I celebrity.
What about the other boys? What about the other boys? Tommy, do you think that you are a celebrity, Tommy?
No, I don't think you're a celebrity.
Well, Tommy, what is your definition of a celebrity?
Well, I would say, you know, like, do you feel like like you are a celebrity now?
There was a time when actually three of us went out to eat dinner, and this girl, we were in downtown Sacramento eating at a Chinese food restaurant, and this West. Oh, next question. Leading.
Oh, Joseph.
Joseph has a script.
Don't worry about that.
This is unscripted.
That's the reason why. TV. That's the reason why I write really good questions, and so the questions actually flow into the second question.
Oh wow.
Okay, go ahead, Tommy. Tell us the story.
It works, John. It works.
Okay, so tell us the story.
Actually, the waitress came up to us and she mentioned. She said that.
No, first she said, excuse me, but I don't want to embarrass you guys, but
are you guys the mischievous boys?
And then we said, yes!
And we all stood up and started singing Madonna.
No, and then we said, where do you want us to sign the autograph?
Do you have a pen? And that's the moment where I felt like a celebrity.
Yes.
I see. But not normally, right? Not usually, like
not
during.
Not normally, yeah. 99%.
Okay, who else has an answer to the question? Edward.
We're just having too much fun here, John.
Edward, do you feel like a celebrity?
Honestly, no, because we're just having fun here. You know, when we started doing this video, we just didn't really think that it's going to be this much reaction from our viewers. So really, I don't feel like a celebrity. I'm just being myself. Yeah.
Well, you know, celebrities just want to have fun.
Thanks, Cindy.
The phone rings.
In the middle of the night and my mind.
You know, I'll feel like a celebrity if I start getting paid.
David has an answer.
David.
I have to say yes and no, because like Tommy, there are certain situations where another time the three of us went to San Francisco for New Year's, and there were these guys who were across from us at a nightclub, and they all looked at us, and they were all like lipping and pointing at us and saying, mischievous boys.
So they were lip-syncing, mischievous boys.
Because we were a lip-syncing group, right? So we turned around and waved hi to them. And at that point, I think I have to admit, yeah, I felt somewhat of a celebrity. But for the most part, no, it doesn't. Okay. It hasn't affected my everyday life, so no.
Okay.
We still have our day jobs.
Me too. Gosh, I have many jobs. I have 7 jobs.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding.
And one of them starts with a B.
And ends with a W.
Oh, shut up.
And the middle is
it's very low.
Hello.
And the middle is very low.
Loja. It's Loja. Loja.
Okay, I'm going to move straight to the next question.
Yeah, move on.
Okay, oftentimes when I go out to eat, you know, like let's say go out with a bunch of friends, eat, you know, mixed group of white, black, whatever. I have a whole bunch of different friends, right? And there's this stereotype of, oh, you're Asian, so if you figure out the bills, they say that you're Chinese, so you must be really good at math, so figure out the bills. So do you guys have any sort of this stereotype? Do people actually, what is the typical Filipino stereotype? This
Joseph,
is really not,
Edward.
It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, it's just the stereotype. Like, you know, when I say I'm Chinese, they say, do you play the violin or do you do math really well? And I said, no, none to both. And so what is the stereotype of a Filipino?
Joseph, this phone is dying.
I think a typical gay Filipino stereotype is a man trying to look like a woman. And, and they go after straight men. And their occupation is usually a hairdresser or something artsy. And acts very feminine.
No, gay men in general, just a Filipino person in general.
And wears nice clothes.
Not like gay Filipino.
Oh, yeah, what about just Filipino?
Oh, never mind. Edward.
Backspace.
Yeah, backspace.
Delete.
No, I mean, that's fine too, but I just wonder, I'm interested in finding out if there is any, you know, typical Filipino stereotype.
Well, on a serious note, I think the typical Filipino stereotype is that we're all the same, that one Filipino is the same as another Filipino, but if we think about it, Joseph and I are both Filipinos, but we come from totally different backgrounds.
Exactly.
You know, if you think
you
about
look
Philippines,
completely different too.
Yeah, definitely. Joseph has a darker skin tone than I do. And if you think about it, the Philippines is basically an archipelago. It's composed of different islands, and it has several languages. And I believe that each island subsequently formed their own culture over time. They have their own language, and in the Philippines, there are several dialects. I think there's about 3,000. So each Filipino is not really similar as the other. It depends on where they came from, what province, what island they came from. So I think that's one of the biggest stereotypes about Filipinos, that
everybody's
we're all
the
same. Yes.
Good. And Ty? David?
I think that the same goes for all Asian cultures in general, but specifically for Thai, I guess that they're cheap, readily available. You could rent a Thai boy for $5 a day, and that they have big cocks.
Oh, do they?
And we're not talking about the chicken.
Or the rooster.
Oh, I did not know that. Thai people have big... I mean, I didn't know about the stereotype.
I didn't know that either.
Did you just make that up?
No, I'm not. I'm not making it up. I've heard my friends say that. So
really?
Uh-huh. White guys have told me.
Was it after they saw you?
You are so big. I've seen.
So Tommy, what's the stereotype about Vietnamese? You want to know? Tell us.
Yeah,
Vietnamese. Stereotype about
Vietnamese. He's supposed to say that.
Oops, we're taking over your show, John.
I think that whole math thing applies sometimes. A lot of times they think that the Vietnamese people, it's kind of associated with the war, and so that they tend to be, you know, they tend to be poorer or have nail shops. I mean, sometimes it's true, and it's just a part of like who we are as a people. Like,
yeah,
growing in the state. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I think I understand what you're saying. It's certain all stereotypes are based on a small part of truth, but it being a stereotype is because that tiny little speck of truth is overshadowing all the other population. So. But it's interesting to find out. I didn't know, and that was an honest question of finding out what kind of stereotype you have in the different community.
Right.
And now let's go to food. Asians love food, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Someone's hungry.
I'm hungry, John.
Yeah.
Tommy, you're always hungry.
Hungry.
He's always hungry.
I'm a growing.
Okay. What is your favorite? Your own cultural, your own food.
Oh, in our own cultures?
Yeah, in your own culture.
Okay, this is Joseph, and my favorite is palabok.
Palabok.
What is that?
Palabok, it's a noodle with pork rind grounded, and then they put, is it anchovies and...
Something.
Something like that, and then they put this, it's like a peanut sauce. Well, no, it's not really a peanut sauce, but like a yellow sauce.
Ask grandma, she know.
What's yellow sauce?
That's what gives it its color. And then the other thing that I like is
maybe you should have your grandmother come here and tell us
and
all
then
about
the other thing, the other food I like is kare kare.
Curry.
No, it's kare kare.
Kare kare, it sounds like curry.
Yeah, and it's like a peanut sauce, peanut butter stew.
Saucy.
Ooh.
So it has the tripe and peanut butter and vegetables. So those
sounds
are my
delicious.
Two favorites.
You know, frankly speaking, I have not really had Filipino food.
Well, you should.
Maybe if I visit California, if I visit Sacramento, would you have your grandmother cook me a Filipino meal?
Southwest.
Yes, you'll be our guest of honor.
They need to.
Do I get to
better.
Appear on your videos?
Yeah.
No, you don't want me to be on the video. I'll crank your camera. That's the reason why I do a podcast, audio podcast.
Okay, so next.
Anyway, so what about Edward? What's your favorite Filipino food?
Adobo, which is chicken, marinated chicken. I think it has black pepper. What else?
How is it
oil?
Prepared, adobo chicken?
Chicken? Some spices, chicken. But I really like Thai food, though. That's my favorite dish.
Oh,
that's not his question, though.
But I
okay,
like it.
What about Thai?
I just cooked
what
one
about,
last night.
Thank you. This is David. And I taught Edward how to cook curry, yellow and green curry. I'd have to say curry is my favorite, but my real, real favorite is papaya salad, just because it's one of those acquired tastes. Chopped up papaya, spicy.
Oh gosh, yes.
You know, it just makes your mouth all like you want it. I want it right now.
Oh, I love those. You know, when I go to Thailand, they would make the papaya salad. They kind of like julienne it, you know, like shave it,
yes.
Almost like what do you call it? Like shave it with that little thing.
They chop it and slice it. Yeah, it's like
and then they would pound the.
They grate it.
The dried shrimp, you know?
Yes, they mix that in with
it. Oh, that is so good. With chilies, those little Thai chilies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I'm so hungry.
Yes.
So is Tommy.
Which brings us to...
Speaking of...
Okay, Tommy.
Vietnamese food.
What's your favorite Vietnamese food besides cats and dogs? No, I didn't.
I have a funny story.
Yes, you did.
I went to Saigon. I had the opportunity to go to Saigon, and we were in a restaurant, and I actually saw a little dog in a cage, and I asked my mom, like, do we actually eat that?
Wait, it's a Cajun dog?
Listen.
There was a dog in a cage, and I asked my mom if we actually ate that, and she's like, well, some people eat it, but she didn't. And so
it's considered a delicacy.
I was I was kind of appalled, but it's do what you gotta do, I guess.
Well, people, so that's actually favorite. You know, I was a guest host on another show called Eat This Hot Show. It's a very good show hosted by Madge Weinstein and other podcasters, you know, Reagan Fox and Wanda Wisdom. And they, you know, I was on the show and the show is really crazy. So I was like jokingly saying, kidding that I eat cats and dogs, right? And I have a listener, a French listener, and he actually emailed me yesterday and said, do you really eat cats and dogs? I'm gonna answer his questions. Well, I probably would have answered the question last week already. Shit, because this is pre-recorded. So, yeah, I do not.
I know, just for the record.
No, we're kidding. There is quite a huge Vietnamese population here in Kansas City, so there's...
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
You should move, Tommy.
Have Vietnamese food?
Yeah, move. Yeah, they have a lot of white people.
Just for the food, yeah. Just...
All this talk is making me hungry.
Let's go eat.
So, let's see. Oh, gosh, we're doing really well, really. We have no problem filling out time, really. Okay, I'm going to maybe start wrapping up the questions, but quickly, how do you score in pop culture? Do you think you're really good in pop culture or not? Like, rate it. Like, 0 to 100 points. How many points do you get? 100 points being really good at it. Pop culture.
That's not a weird question.
Representing
Asian Americans in pop
culture. No, like how much do you know about pop culture? Like, you know, American Idol and which contestants and Survivors, which contestants. How good are you? I'm going to go and you just answer me in percentage, 0 to 100, and I'll call your name and tell me, okay?
Okay.
Joseph, pop culture.
90%. Because wow. I try to follow news about movies, TV, music, internet, and gay stuff.
Oh, okay. Edward?
I would say 80%. Or even less.
You're getting a B minus.
That's 80% B minus.
It should be a C plus.
Pop culture? Because
I would have said myself as 75.
TV, Edward?
Exactly.
Yes, I do.
I don't know.
Okay. How about goodness. Edward? Say about 80%. You say
yes.
Okay. How about Tommy?
I'd say probably like 30-40%. I don't.
Okay. Yeah. And then
even less
David?
Than me.
Yes, and for me, I'm way low. I get a lot of my cultural aspect from my students. They're the ones who educate me about pop culture, American pop culture. I would say 60%.
So if you're 60, then okay. I'm probably lower than 60, because you know more than I do.
My pop culture is through Joseph.
Yeah.
So I guess
Joseph is the number one. No wonder he's doing all this music videos.
Yes. He's watching all this TV.
Yeah, their total should equal mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Go back to Joseph, okay?
Yes.
Same questions, but apply to politics and social issues. How do you rate yourself?
50%.
50%, okay. And then Edward?
I would say 90%. I try to keep in touch, keep abreast of latest news, everything that's going on in the world, nationally, locally as well. So I would say 50%. I'm sorry, 90%.
90%, okay. And then Tommy?
I hate to admit this, but I kind of get caught up in my own little world between school and work, but I try to watch the news as much as possible, but I know a lot of times that's skewed, but mm-hmm. I'd say politically I'm probably about maybe 30%.
50? 30%
No, not
that's
very fine, involved
that's
at all.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So you're politically incorrect.
Oh.
David?
Politically unaware.
I listen to NPR every morning.
That's David.
I would say 95, close to 100%. I listen to the State of the Union address. I listen and read the newspaper at school religiously. After all, I have to teach these kids, and I have to know what's going on in the world.
Exactly.
So.
Brownie points for David.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Tommy.
And let's see. What is... Okay, this is going to be the final question. And I'll call you out, each of you. That is the best way of doing it. Otherwise, you'll speak over each other. What is the one most important thing in your life for you, Joseph?
I really don't have one. I have...
No, you have to pick one.
Well, okay, I have my cat, I have good health, money, family, and friends, and I can't live without all of them. So, but if I really have to answer one, it's going to have to be my cat. It's very important to me.
No, your grandma.
That's why you were so understanding of my situation when we were talking
yes,
about
exactly.
doing it. So for people who did not didn't know what I was talking about, my cat was...
So Tommy, don't eat my cat.
Oh my God. I'm calling your cat the bad.
Stay away from Cosmo.
Oh, I love it.
Cats make really good soup.
Oh no, she didn't.
John.
I don't think she
yes, she
did.
Just did.
No. To tell you
I
the
do
truth.
I won't.
What's your cat's name?
To tell you the truth, and the reason why I mentioned that was because several weeks ago, my cat was sick, and he started to sneeze blood, and that really concerned me. And I sent him to the vet, and they said that, oh, it looks like something more serious. You have to go home, come back the next day so that we can examine him with x-rays and all that. So I was very concerned, and I called. I said, I don't think I can do the interview because I'm just, you know, too out of it.
Aww.
So, but yeah, I love my cats too. So, but he's doing fine. Chai is doing fine. So if you want to look at videos of the cat and
I saw
the
it.
Whole experience, yeah,
her.
Go back to
yeah, I
the
saw her.
Episodes. It's him. Well,
him.
Him.
Yeah, Chai is a guy. Okay, so let's see. We will move on to Edward. What is the one most important? If you can pick one, oh my gosh, you have to pick one. I'm going to come back to Joseph, but you just pick one is the cat. So
yeah, I picked the cat.
How about Edward? What is the one most important thing in your life? It doesn't have to be material stuff. It can be anything.
I would say my relationship with God. God has blessed me so much over the years with good health, family, friends, and the mischievous boys. So I would say my relationship with God has been there for me throughout my childhood, and he has never left me alone. So I would say God, he has to be first in my life.
Now, I would love to have you elaborate more, but we don't have time. But you know what?
I may
just have you come back and we'll talk about God and a relationship with God. Maybe on a different show. How about that?
Yeah.
And Tommy.
Tommy,
what is the one most important thing for you in your life?
The one most important thing in my life right now would probably be sex, relationship with my family, my friends.
You're nothing.
Yeah, I was nothing without my family or my friends.
You're nothing without your friends, girlfriend.
You'd be just a boy. No, you'd
so
be just a girl.
Friendship, okay.
Boy.
You'll just be
David?
Tommy.
David.
I want to say friends, but I think right now my career, the most important thing are my students in my classroom. I bring them home with me. They're in my head. They're in my thoughts. It's like, it's hard to let go of work and not have work with you all the time. So that would probably be it.
That's very true. I have to hear it every single night.
Yeah.
Which I'm not complaining, but I hear it a lot.
Edward's ears are worn out.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, David. Thank you, Edward. And thank you, Joseph, for doing the interview with me.
You're
for
welcome.
So many weeks.
You're welcome, John. Thanks for giving us this chance to be interviewed.
Oh, you are welcome. Oh, 谢谢，不客气. And I would like to invite you to go to my website and their website, onlinepodcast.com. And if you have any, and also their website is mischievousboys.com. If you don't know how to spell it, just go to onlinepodcast.com. There'll be a link there. And if you have any voice comment that you want to leave for me, please call my voice comment line at 206-888-JOHN or email me at online@gmail.com. And I really, really appreciate you guys coming on the show. And if you have anything that you want to, you know, discuss or talk about that you want to talk about on my show, please let me know. And I'll be happy and I'm sure I'll be able to find a time for that. So, yeah. It's an open invitation to all of you. If you have any, like, I think Edward, I think I'm going to have you come back and talk to me about, if you want to talk to me about relationship with you and God. I think that's a topic that is rarely touched. And typically, you just see the most two extreme of, oh, you know, if you're gay, you cannot be religious or spiritual.
To do this again with you, John.
So we'll do that in the future. And yeah, definitely on another day. And so thank you so much again. And I hope that you will take off and be really, really famous. And you still
thanks
remember
you,
me
John,
when you're famous. When you get on Oprah, don't forget to let Oprah that she's not the first O. I'm the first O.
Oh, so you read the blog.
Oh.
I want to meet
Oprah. If you
Oprah.
Get on Oprah, tell Oprah girlfriend, you're not the first O. John Ong is the first O.
So maybe Oprah's listening right now. Oprah, contact us.
Bye. Yeah, right. Send me $5,000.
Seriously, she can share it.
Well, thank you again so much, boys. And thank you for withstanding your hunger and staying to record the show. Thank you so much. And the one most important thing for me in life is love. So,
are you in love, John?
Yes, and don't forget to smile. That's another thing that I always emphasize is don't forget to smile. The magic of a smile is really more powerful than you think. So go out, make a smile, and the smile will pass on. Thank you so much for listening. And
bye.
Okay, listen
bye.
To you bye. Next time. Bye bye.
Bye.